there.
To welcome first Senator Sullivan to Homer, Alaska, officially.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Last time I saw Senator Sullivan, he was down on the Senate floor educating the rest of the senators about what Alaska's all about. And I want to turn this over to Senator Sullivan. He's been working hard in many ways for the Homer Senior Center, for the coastal cleanup on the committees. The fishermen are here in numbers, as well as a lot of other constituents of yours that are here. And they're all, you know, the primary reason we brought you out here to the Port and Harbor building here is so that you perhaps afterwards get a chance to go inside and see our future thoughts of what working with you and the Coast Guard can do for you.
Good.
And then I'm going to turn it over right now, but one thing I do know is Senator Sullivan's a fighter, you know, and he's fighting for all of you Alaskans, and you're going to tell and share with Senator Sullivan so that he can fight your battles for you back in Washington, D.C., and you're very good at that, and your staff is superb.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate it. Well, hey, thanks, everybody. I appreciate everybody coming out. I know it was a little bit of a short notice. But I want to thank the mayor, of course, and the city. Some of you might know Elena Spraker. She is my, we'll give her a round of applause. She runs my Kenai operations, does a great job. So I am I'm wrapping up 2 weeks. What I thought I'd do is give kind of an overview of what's going on in D.C. and then open it up for any questions or comments or suggestions or criticisms. I'm wrapping up 2 weeks of our work week back. We've been out of session for the last 2 weeks. So I started actually not in Alaska, but I started with a week down at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Any Marines here might know what that is. I'm still in the reserve, so I went down and did my reserve training down there. And then came home and have just been kind of on a whirlwind, which is what we try and do. I've been up on the slope, in Dead Horse, was in Barrow, was in Wainwright, just the other day, in Anchorage, and then we're spending the day today on the peninsula. And the meetings are kind of what you would expect. We do some community meetings like this. We do targeted meetings. So I was just telling Clem we had a 3-hour big meeting with a lot of the fisheries groups, CDQ groups, yesterday. I love to get out and see the students. That's my only regret on this trip. On the peninsula, I usually always am in the classroom hearing from our young Alaskans in high school and middle school. And really pretty much we try to meet with as many people who, you know, are asking for the meetings. And as the mayor said, what I'm here to do is A, update, B, ideas, questions, criticisms. I'm sure we may have a few of those. But also, and I really mean this seriously, if you have personal issues that relate to, you know, whether if you're a veteran and you need help, or, you know, Social Security or federal agency, or you got a company and you're not getting the permits, I am very proud of my team, right? I have a great team. And they do really, really hard work, and they get results. So we can't guarantee always results, but we can guarantee we'll work super hard for you guys on the issues that matter. So I implore you to take advantage of us, Elena, everybody. So anyways, I'm looking forward to hearing what's on your mind. Update. Let me give you kind of a update on what's been going on. So we started a new Congress, the 115th Congress, started a new administration, and you know, on the Senate side, a big part of what we've been doing the last 3 months has been the advice and consent role, right? In terms of the new cabinet, it's pretty much just been the cabinet. And if you have questions about the different cabinet members, I'd be glad to talk about them. One of the things I told the Trump White House is, look, even though I'm not on the committees, so as some of you might know, I'm on Armed Services, I'm on Veterans Affairs, You know, we have more vets per capita than any state in the country, so that's pretty important. Armed Services, because of all our military, Commerce, which has oversight of fisheries, telecoms, and Environment and Public Works, which is mostly roads, ports, bridges. But I told him, hey, even if I'm not on the committee that's going to oversee these cabinet officials, I want to meet them. I want to be able to talk to them. I want to be able to hear from my constituents, ask them questions from them. So I actually think it's going to be a strong cabinet. It's taken a while to get people put in place below the cabinet officials, but that's been a lot of what we've been working on in terms of the cabinet. And I think a lot of them, Wilbur Ross in terms of Commerce, Zinke, Navy SEAL, who's now the Secretary of Interior, General Mattis, I think they're gonna be really good. I think they're gonna be good for us. I think they're gonna be good for the country. We spent a lot of time on confirming a new Supreme Court Justice, Judge Gorsuch, and I think he's gonna be good. I got to know him, interviewed him, helped in some of his preparation work, and he's a Westerner. There's no Westerners on the Supreme Court. Matter of fact, they say that, yeah, the Supreme Court's very diverse. All five boroughs of New York City are represented on the Supreme Court. So that's a joke. Actually, it's true. So having a Westerner, someone who believes in kind of a more limited role for judges, I think is going to be important. A couple other areas I just wanted to update you on. Fisheries. I just was talking to Clem about some of the great work he's done throughout his career. I was named the chair of the subcommittee in charge of fisheries, oceans, Coast Guard, NOAA. So we got a lot of work going on there. And if you have ideas or concerns about that, we're working on Coast Guard reauthorization right now, which is really important for Alaska, really important for the country. Looking at, and I'd love your views on this, MSA reauthorization, since you had a lot to do with that. The Magnuson-Stevens Act reauthorization, 40 years since that came into law, which has been great for Alaska. 2 weeks ago, I launched a bill that I want you guys all to be aware of. We're very hopeful. It's already been reported out of committee. This is called the SOS Act, the Save Our Seas Act. This is all about the big problem we have with ocean debris, ocean pollution, which is a giant problem. Most of the pollution is plastics, comes from five countries in Asia. There's never been a treaty, never been really anything. And if you take a look at the bill, we launched it with probably some of the most liberal Democrats, some of the most conservative Republicans, really good group of senators, and already passed out of committee. This would enable states like Alaska to get a lot more money for cleanup, and from NOAA to declare emergencies. But most importantly, it really puts the kind of pressure on the State Department to actually undertake a treaty on this big issue, which impacts us more negatively than any other place probably in the world. And you guys, particularly the people in the fishing community, know that better than anybody. So we just got that launched, and it's already been reported out of committee. So that, or passed out of committee. So that's good news. The military, national defense, is something I believe in. I see that sign. Maybe not all of you believe in more funding for the military. I actually do. President Obama cut our defense spending by almost 25%. If you look around the world right now, whether it's North Korea or what the Russians are up to, we have a lot of challenges right now. And our state plays a really, really important role in terms of our nation's defense. We're the cornerstone of the country's missile defense, which is going to be more and more important with the North Korean crazy guy who is increasingly having the ability to launch more sophisticated missiles our way. We are the hub of air combat power with a lot more fighters coming our way. Some of you may have seen what happened just off the coast of Kodiak a couple days ago. Those were our F-22s out of J-Bear. And we have expeditionary forces that can go anywhere in a moment's notice because of our strategic location. And we're working hard to keep those guys here. Matter of fact, one of the things that Senator Murkowski and Don Young and I have been working on is trying to increase this presence. This fiscal year, 2017, we'll have close to, if you include some of the work that's going to go on in missile defense testing on Kodiak, close to $600 million of military construction coming to Alaska, which is helpful for our economy right now, but good for the country. So that's happening. That's going to continue to happen, I believe. By the way, I know Northern Edge is coming here. I've actually participated in that as a Marine previously. Senator Murkowski and I have been in several meetings with not just the General Wilsbach here, but the PACOM guys, and you know, been working with them. I know they've actually changed some schedules and anything because they've done the outreach to the communities, but certainly hopeful that when that, I think it's a destroyer that's going to show up here, that we, you know, one of the things that, and again, we might not all agree on this, but we do have, as a state, a real, real strong reputation of supporting our military.
I disagree.
Okay, well, that's fine. Anyways, if I were here, I'd be greeting them with open arms. These are young men and women who are trying to do the best for their country. Next issue, growing the economy. It's probably the number one thing that I've been trying to focus on in my 2 years in the Senate. The last couple years of the Bush administration, the entire 8 years of the Obama administration, the United States of America never hit 3% GDP growth. Not once, ever. President Obama was the first president to never hit it, ever. 3% GDP. Hold on, we'll wait for the questions. But 3% GDP growth is average. It's not even that good. We haven't hit it in almost 15 years. My view is we got to do, hopefully we can all agree on this, we got to do a lot more to increase our growth in Alaska. Okay, you guys want to just, we'll have an opportunity to do questions. I'm just trying to, look, the one thing I always get, and you know, I've been watching the TV nationally, when I do these community meetings in Alaska, it's always respectful. And of course we don't always agree, but it's all, trust me, it's always respectful. So I just appreciate, hopefully we can keep that, and I'll answer your questions. And if you disagree with anything I say, please, you can raise it. But I think we can all agree on, and I agree with the comment there about diversifying, absolutely. But to have a stronger economy is what we're, yep, absolutely, we can do both. Is what we should be, it's certainly what I'm focused on. And I think the new administration is going to be helpful on a lot of the issues that we need to be focused on here, whether it's fisheries, whether it's oil and gas development, whether it's tourism. And so that's an area where I think we have to do more. We have to do a better job. And that's something that, if you have ideas on that, certainly want to work with you on that. Just a couple other ones real quick. You know, I always also believe there's a, you know, role, you know, I've talked about national defense, talked about fisheries, talked about the economy, but I also believe there's an important role for the federal government kind of helping the most vulnerable in society. One of the things that has concerned me greatly, and I know it's of concern to many of you, is, you know, we have very, very high rates of domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska, and I think nobody wants us to be in that category of, you know, being number one in that horrible area, but we are, by the way. So, if you're interested, there's a number of bills that I've worked on, one that passed the Senate last year that would give more opportunities for legal services for women who have are victims of domestic violence, survivors of domestic violence. The irony in that area, which I've been focused on for a long time, if you're a perpetrator of one of these kind of bad crimes and you get charged, you get a Sixth Amendment right to counsel. And if you're the victim, you get nothing. You don't even get a lawyer. And I think that's wrong. And so my bill last year passed the Senate, got stuck up in the House, unfortunately, with the congressman who, for whatever reason, was not helpful. And we reintroduced it this year, and hopefully we'll get it passed, because I think it could do a lot of good for not only Alaska, but the country. And then the other big area that I'm focused on that I think a lot of you are concerned about is the addiction and opioid and heroin challenges that are hitting the state really hard. Some of you might know I put together a summit last August out at Mat-Su College, and this is after meeting with, we'll go into some different communities, but meeting with a number of women from Juneau and Anchorage who came to see me who are all recovering heroin addicts. And if you would have met these women, you would have been like, wow, very professional, very strong, and they were really, really, really struggling. And so we put this summit on. I invited the Surgeon General of the United States, who's a big lead on that, the number two in charge of HHS with the Obama administration, the Deputy Secretary, a bunch of state officials are trying to educate people, try to essentially put out a warning, right, that there's communities in the lower 48 that have absolutely been ravaged, destroyed, really, by this heroin and opioid epidemic. There's a community in West Virginia recently, I think it was a town of 30,000 people, that had over 30 overdoses in one weekend. Juneau has had 5 overdose deaths in 5 months, right? So we didn't know if anyone was gonna come, anyone was even interested. We had over 500 people show up at this summit in the Mat-Su, and then several hundred more online. And to be perfectly honest, I think it's gotten worse in Alaska since that time. We did pass, I co-sponsored this bill called the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act. It got passed and signed into law in December by President Obama. It's a start, but my view is, and if you have ideas on this, we got to do way, 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 way more on funding for recovery centers, which we don't have a lot of in Alaska.
Prevention.
And prevention. And then, and by the way, that's hitting all the kids, right? I have 3 teenage daughters, and there's high school kids that are, you know, trying this stuff once and getting addicted and overdosing, and it's just horrible. And then finally, I'll just mention the Trump budget, right? So he put out this, you know, what they call the skinny budget. It's kind of an outline. As you probably know, the Congress has the constitutional authority for the budget, or the spending and the taxing. The executive branch has something to do with that. There are elements of budget that I'm supportive of, but there were a number of things in there that I thought were indicated a lack of understanding of us, of the state, of Alaska, of some of our needs, essential air service, the water and sewer issues. One of the things I was, you know, proud to have worked on with a number of people back home, I got a new program signed into law that would address the issue that we have over 30 communities in Alaska, 30, that have no clean water and sewer. American citizens living like you live in third world countries. So that got funded, passed into law, and the budget right now, the Trump administration is not funding that. They're not funding essential air service. One thing you may have seen, there was a rumor they're going to cut the Coast Guard funding by over $2 billion. As the chairman of the committee that oversees the Coast Guard, I wrote a letter to the OMB director, had almost 30 U.S. senators sign it within 24 hours, sent it to them, And when they put their initial budget out, there's no cuts to the Coast Guard. So we think that letter had a good impact. But we'll go back and, you know, we're going to battle over this budget. There's some elements that, like I said, I'm supportive of. But there's a lot of elements that I don't necessarily agree with. So that's it's a quick update. Maybe not so quick. But I appreciate you guys all coming out. And I'll let the mayor kind of take it away in terms of questions. So,
all right.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to just let us know we practiced really hard for this so that we represent very, very good, you know, Homer to
you. Yes, absolutely. Look, I love doing these kind of meetings.
We're going to take it around, and I'm going to choose a few citizens with their hands up that have questions for you that are concerns. And afterwards, I hope we still have time to get back into the Harbor Master's office here. But I saw former Mayor Jack Cushing had his hand up back there, so I want to first pick Jack, and then we'll just work our way around. How much time have we got?
I think we got a good 30 minutes.
30 right? minutes, all right. Jack?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for coming, Senator. I was a four-term mayor and stood down after, gave someone else a chance, I guess, but... this is more a statement, and I'm from a Marine Corps family, and I know you, the Marines as a force, are taught not to blame the other guy and get a program together and make it work. And I personally thought Obama did a very good job in most everything he did. And I just like to encourage, particularly now that we're going ahead, we're not politicking anymore, the campaign's over, that we just keep... it's not the other guy's fault. Let's just make things work. And it turns a crowd real fast when all of a sudden somebody likes is being told they did this horrible or that wrong, and the whole fault of the nation is something that everybody sees through that, and it you lose your audience. And so I just encourage you, everybody, just to pick up and go forward.
And okay, well, thanks, Ms. Mayor. Look, you know, with President, I was in the Senate for 2 years of President Obama's term. When I agreed with President Obama on things, I was supportive and tried to work with those guys. And there was a number of things on some of the military stuff, on some of the trade stuff. And then when I disagreed with them, I disagreed with them. And I always did it. I was always respectful, right? Always. I don't believe in like personal attacks on people, especially people in politics, right? It's hard enough to, you know, throw your hat in the ring. But I think you can be, but I do think, you know, that they, my view is on particularly our energy sector, that they overregulated way, way too much. I mean, heck, I was just up in Wainwright, and it was really, really almost sad to see all the plans that they had with regard to what Shell was doing in the offshore in Alaska, and that didn't account. Now look, I know some people didn't agree with that, but I think that would have been really good for the state. But I'm moving forward, and I mentioned the economy at the end of Bush and the economy during the Obama years. We've had an economy, this is a fact, we've had an economy for over a decade, and you can blame Republicans or Democrats, that has never hit 3% GDP growth. The average for the U.S., Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter, for our 200 plus years has been about 3.9. And I think all of us can agree, we gotta grow more. We gotta have better jobs. But your point's well taken, and I don't intend to make a lot of about it, but
let me take
and I appreciate you being from a Marine Corps family, too. That's a good start.
Let's take the Bay Welding gentleman leaning on the pole there. He's a small business, probably employee of a business that is successful, but I'm not sure that's what your question's about.
Not at all, sir. Thank you. My name is Scott Simmons, Senator. Thank you for being here.
Thanks,
I do not work for Bay Weld. We've done contract work together back and forth, and I really respect those guys, and I fully support them. I appreciate you talking about the SOS bill, Save Our Seas, but I guess I'm really concerned that it's like, well, you voted for Scott Pruitt to be EPA administrator, and he is a climate denier. And so you want to clean up trash, but you don't want to address like ocean acidification. You don't want to address that our Euclid population has crashed, most recently figured out off the continental shelf here in the Gulf of Alaska. How do those two things come together? It's like, I mean, cleaning up trash is one thing, but let's look at a bigger picture.
I being on the Commerce Committee and knowing how important our sustainable, healthy fisheries and coastal communities are, you know, this is one area with the Obama administration where I was on the, I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, but I always was advocating, including letters to the appropriates, full funding for NOAA on ocean acidification, on other issues that relate to healthy fisheries, period. I'm 110% focused on that, and hopefully you'll see it. And now that I'm in a position where I can actually do a lot on it, right, as the chairman of the subcommittee in charge of fisheries and the oceans. So, well, I voted for Scott Pruitt, and this will be an area, I actually enthusiastically voted for Scott Pruitt, okay? I did. Okay, no, come on, you guys. Okay, hold on, right? Just let me answer here. The last EPA administrator, in my view, and this is, again, is not kind of going back to the, you know, Obama years, but I thought she was somebody, and I thought that agency under her, and again, some of you are going to disagree, but this is, they were somebody that saw the rule of law and statutes that govern their power as something to be dismissed and ignored. And they did that time and time again. And it wasn't just, you know, a Republican senator saying that. It was every federal court on the big rules that they promulgated, put stays on them, whether it was the waters of the U.S., whether it was the Clean Power Plan. The U.S. Supreme Court put a stay on the Clean Power Plan, the first time in U.S. history that a court did this. And then you had even famous lawyers like Lawrence Tribe, okay, not known as a conservative lawyer, right, who came out in op-eds and in briefings saying that the EPA is trying to burn the Constitution. This is Lawrence Tribe, right? So I think the last EPA had a view of the rule of law and what their responsibility with regard to the constitutional order. They can only issue regs when it says they can in statute, period. That's a fact. And they ignored that time and time again. Scott Pruitt, in his confirmation hearing, was very focused on getting the EPA back to working with the states and the rule of law. The state of Alaska, even under Governor Walker, sued the EPA over some of these areas where they were overreaching with regard to their power and authority. So to me, working with the states, getting back to the rule of law, was some of the most important things that the EPA could do, can do, and I think Scott Pruitt is going to, I know he's going to be focused on it. So that's where I am on my support for Scott Pruitt. But going back to the fisheries and oceans and sustainable, you know, I'm going to be as strong as advocate as anyone has been on that. And if you guys have ideas on that, we want to hear about them. So right. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Don Lane, one of our local fishermen.
Hey, Don. Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity to ask a question. I have a question, but I just want to say, first of all, that Affordable Care Act has been a game changer for my family for health insurance. And for many years as a commercial fisherman, health insurance wasn't available at any price. It just wasn't available. And along came the Affordable Care Act, and it has been very important. But my question is, on the Armed Services Committee, North Korea has, I mean, you hear the news between what Trump says about North Korea and the carriers moving that way. I would like to hear your thoughts about how that relationship is. Sometimes I have the feeling that any day we could hear that we're on the verge of war. And I want to know, in your opinion, if that's, North Korea, if that's a reality.
Well, look, that's a great question. And No, I don't think so, on the verge, right? I mean, I pay very close attention to that. You know, given just what that situation is. And it's a very difficult situation, right? Nobody's been able to crack that one. President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, right? It's a big challenge. There's no doubt about it. You know, I mentioned early on the Trump team that I am supportive of. One area where I really think, you know, he's put together a good team is on the national security side. So you got General Mattis, who's now the Secretary of Defense, very well-respected general, very bipartisan confirmation, very well-respected Marine. You got H.R. McMaster, who's an active duty Army general, who I actually served under briefly, even though he's Army and I was a Marine Corps. He's also, I think, world-class. You know, you got the generals that, by the way, when you talk about President Obama, one of the things I always complimented him on was he put forward really, really sharp, strong, intelligent, good temperament generals running our military. Well, all the guys running the U.S. military right now are almost all President Obama appointees. So we have a good team, and I think everybody should breathe somewhat easier because it's a challenge. My biggest concern on North Korea, and I'm going to be introducing a bill on this when I get back, and this is public testimony, it's not like classified or anything. Everybody, essentially all the experts say it's not a matter of if, but when, Kim Jong-un is going to be able to shoot an intercontinental ballistic nuclear missile and hit the lower 48. He's going to be able to hit us first, unfortunately, right? But it's going to happen. Whether it happens next year, not that that's going to happen. His capability. No, I didn't mean that. I meant it's going to happen. His capability. He's going to have that capability, whether a year from now or 2 years. People don't know. They're guessing. Sometimes the guesses are a little scary in terms of. So one thing I think we need to do a much better job of is missile defense to protect our own country. And, you know, when you talk about where you have pride in the military in Alaska, almost all the missile defense assets protecting the entire country of the United States are all here. The radar, the sensors, they're building a new what they call long-range discrimination radar at Clear Air Force Base. The ground-based missile interceptors are all at Fort Greely. The Alaska National Guard actually protects the entire country. But I don't think we have enough. So I think we need more to take away the threat that's only going to increase. And it's a scary threat. So I don't disagree with anything you said.
Thank you, sir.
Jenny Aspen Shade.
Thank you, Senator, for coming and listening. I went to your summit in the Valley on the opiate crisis. I'm one of several volunteers that helped set up a needle exchange here in Homer. And you obviously feel very strongly about helping the individuals, the families, and the communities that are struggling with this issue. And I appreciate the CARA Act and relaxing the regs on the Narcan. My question is, there's several components of the Affordable Care Act that are key tools as families struggle with this. Pre-existing conditions, the parity between mental health coverage and physical health coverage, and expanded Medicaid in our state. Will you pledge the same dedication to making sure those provisions or similar ones are in whatever this country has going forward?
Well, look, it's a great question. And I'm glad you went to the summit. You saw, there was a lot of important elements to that. To me, the highlight was the Surgeon General of the United States, which again was a President Obama appointee. This guy's like, he should run for Senate, right? I mean, he's an amazing guy. He's not even 40. So I am clearly committed, and I'm working on a bill right now to try to do more for people with addiction. and recovery centers, which of course we don't have hardly any here, and the funding for it. I am 110% committed. As a matter of fact, we're working on a bill. It might be kind of radical. I don't know if people are going to like it. Not sure we're going to drop it. That would do just that. And the other thing I've tried to do, particularly as a Republican, and I did it in my speech to the Juneau legislature, you know, I think for a long time there was this idea that, you know, if you're addicted to heroin or other kind of drugs, you are some kind of moral failure and you should be put in jail, right? I don't believe that, right? I think the Alaskans who are addicted, I don't believe that. But I think the Alaskans who are have addiction challenges, like these women I met, are you know, friends and family, and they need our help. Now, if you're dealing and trying to get people hooked and bringing heroin to small native villages and getting people to, well, then that's a whole other story, right?
Can we
I'm already talking about more funding. The big area where it's helped in terms of funding is the Medicaid expansion. And if you saw the House bill and the pre-existing conditions, so if you saw the House bill on what the House Republicans tried to move forward on with regard to the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act, it had a number of things I think most Alaskans liked. It had, and I've been meeting with probably over 1,000 Alaskans on health care, just to get their views from all walks of the political spectrum. People who think Obamacare is great and people think it's a disaster. I happen to think it's done more harm than good for Alaska and the country. So I think I've been committed to repealing and what I call repairing. The bill that came through had a lot of things that people liked. It kept the pre-existing condition issue. It kept the kids on your parents' insurance till 26. It kept the caps being limited. So a lot of the things that people liked about Affordable Care Act, that bill kept, which is why I call repair, not fully replace. The one area that it tried to make a compromise on was Medicaid expansion. And there was a number of Republicans, like myself, who were working hard on that issue, in part because of the people covered by Medicaid expansion with regard to opioid treatment. The way that bill worked, just so people know, because it's reported in the media up here completely wrong, okay? The way that current bill worked, the states that expanded Medicaid, like Alaska, under that current, and now that bill, so I don't know if it's dead right now, they would continue to be able to expand until 2020. And then anyone who is underneath that expansion in that pool, and the state, the big issue is the state gets the big generous match, the 90-10 match, 90% by the feds, 10% by the state. Anyone who stays on that expanded population, even after 2020, indefinitely qualifies for the 90-10 match. But what happens when they come off, okay, and by the way, everybody misses out. I think we would all agree the goal is to get people off, right? Because to get them to move up kind of the, you know, because that's, you know, poverty or disabled or blind or pregnant. The expansion was the first time is able-bodied above the poverty line. If they come off and they came back on, then it would be under the 50-50 match that the state gets. So that was the compromise. So in some ways, the House bill does what you just asked for. No, it wasn't block grants. It was, but it capped it. First time it capped it. So in some ways, the House bill does somewhat what you're asked for. If you're on Medicaid expansion and you stay on, you could, the state can continue to get the 90-10 match until 2020. And then if you stay on forever, you get the 90-10. The problem comes after 2020. If you came off and got back on, you could still come back on, but it's now the match to the state is much less generous. So it's a compromise, and the reason they need to have a compromise, there was a lot of states that didn't expand. And trust me, I was in all the meetings where senators were like, wait a minute, my state didn't even expand. That's not, well, that, well, we're not, my guys aren't getting treated fair. Like, you Alaskans that expanded, you're getting way more money than my state. So it was an attempt at a compromise. But I can tell you this, I'm not gonna say on Medicaid expansion where I commit, but I can tell you I'm gonna continue to try to find additional resources for people struggling with this kind of addiction. I think we need to do it.
Thank you, Senator, for that explanation on healthcare. I know that, that was
okay. I know it was a little long, but it's complicated.
Yeah, and it's important to, as I was seeing a lot of agreement.
Well, I could keep going if you want me to on that.
I'm gonna go to Roberta, a longtime committed person on our committees here at the local level. So, Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta Highland. And economy and environment, if you could please, when you say economy, please include environment with it. They go hand in hand. Without one, we don't have the other. Secondly, climate change, ocean acidification, sea level rise, they are coming. Doesn't matter who caused it. They are here. And so somehow we need to get to the next place. Prevention for opioid, please start with prevention. Once you get to the rehab, you're already behind the eight ball. So we have to prevent. We have to do whatever we can for these kids.
Well, and if you guys have good ideas on the prevention
side. Oh, yeah. Horses. Okay. All right. The last.
No, I mean, really.
I do. I have great. Great ideas. It's you've missed the ball.
Yep.
And I'm going to drop something here, and it's going to be shocking. Men are the direct cause of abortions. Sorry, I just had to say it. I couldn't help myself.
Do you want me to comment?
Well, if you want, but I'd rather you talk to somebody else.
I owe Dylan a favor. I'm off and asking. He's the burnt down house local lead, and I'm usually asking him to play songs for me. So Dylan, what question do you have for the senator?
Yep. I know. Sounds like you got a hard job, for sure.
I got a great job, and I represent all of you guys. And whether we agree on everything or not, no one ever agrees on everything. But I represent all of you, and I try to be respectful of everybody's views and respond in a respectful way. There's been a lot of questions on affordable care. Right before I went on recess, I personally put together a 5-page response that hopefully. Mm-hmm.
And I did get your response to the letter that I wrote you, and
was it on affordable care?
It was, and that's what my comments are. I've owned a small business since I was a teenager, not just a band, but a successful business in Philadelphia, moved up here. I own a successful small business here, and I am one of the thousands of Alaskans where the Affordable Care Act is working. Where it's working for my small business, and it's enabling me to continue to work, to grow a small business. And so I really want to encourage you when these votes come up to see me and to see Don and to hear Jenny's concerns, because that's the real face of Alaska right here, hardworking small business owners that are making it happen in Homer, Alaska.
I appreciate the comment, and the one thing I've tried to do, and if you got my letter, I've really, really tried to meet with, it's well over 1,000 of the people who, like I said, small businesses, you're one, they say it's working for you. Others are saying it's literally putting them out of business. I mean, there's a lot of divergent views on this, and we've been meeting with the hospitals, the docs, the health clinics. I mean, so I appreciate your your comment.
We've got time for just one more question, and it's going to be from, well, we're going to come back and finish with Clem, but first one from Jill on education, and then let's, Jill, if you would, and then finish up with Clem, but then you got to get on the road.
Hi, Senator Sullivan.
Hi.
I have a success story for you. I left a really flourishing career in a state where the education system was broken and moved to Alaska with a child who was in the bottom 2% of the nation in math and was in a class of 39 students. She's in a class of about 25 now, and within 4 months, she was brought up to the 80th percentile in math. We have jewels of schools in this town, and I know we're facing a recession, but we're looking at cutting the education budget nationally, and I also believe committing a bunch of money to a voucher system is going to do damage to the education system nationally. And for us, and I'm telling you, once you lose that cap on students, you don't get it back. I've worked with 82 different school districts in this country, and I'm also in college here, this gem of a college that we have that's giving me a chance to retrain myself in the sciences to get a job up here. So I haven't heard you say a lot about education, and thank you for sending me a letter, but I just want to tell you that it's so worth protecting. We don't want a brain drain. We've got an opportunity to really soar in education in this state if you can help us keep the money where it needs to go. So that's
well, sure, Jill, thanks. Well, look, so you know, I mentioned three teenage daughters, and they went to in Anchorage. They went to Catholic school, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton for grade school, then middle school, Golden View, where my wife was the PTSA president, and then South. And, you know, what I always like to say is, and for the teachers here, right, thank you for all you've done, but you obviously are a great example of it, Jill, which is, you know, if you don't have engaged parents, it can be really hard for your kids' education. So when I talk about education, I always talk about making sure, to the extent you can, of course you can't mandate that through the government, engage parents. And but look, my kids are almost all going through the Alaska public school system, and they're one's in college already. She's doing great in college. So I agree with you on the importance of education. On the voucher issue, there's no federal, look, I mean, I'm sure some of you were, if you have that letter, it may have been in response to my, which, by the way, all my letters I approve and edit, and that one, was that the Betsy DeVos letter? Sure. So, you know, I sat down with Betsy DeVos twice, because I know a lot of Alaskans were concerned about her appointment. So, but you guys and everybody writing in and commenting, I literally, if you look at the letter, I went through, and that's all totally accurate, right? I went through, and when I sat down with her, I went through, I need this commitment. And they were the kind of commitments that you were talking about, right? First of all, I mean, I made it clear, there's not the Every Student Succeeds Act for the teachers here. That was a big bipartisan success that we passed last year with the Obama administration. I was very supportive of it. That was taking the power of educating our kids, which had kind of slowly been concentrated in Washington, D.C., and sending it back to the teachers and parents, school administrators, states. And and I agree with that. I think most Alaskans agree with that. And so I voted for that. But I walked her through that bill, and I said, there's no federal provision that allows for a voucher program right now under law. That law, there was an amendment on it, didn't pass. So you don't have the authority to take money from one, you know, school to another. She agreed, that's in that letter. And then the other thing I said, and if that does come to pass, you gotta understand, in Alaska, the vast majority of the communities we have, we don't have any choice for schools. You got one school, right? I was in Wainwright yesterday, 2 days ago. There's one school, right? In most of our communities, there's one school. And sometimes it's hanging by a thread. So, look, I'm 100% committed on the education side. I do think we need to do, you know, there's obviously ways we can improve it for our kids. And I do think having the ability to send kids, and my kids, you know, have been blessed enough to go to different schools. But, you know, I know the state's struggling with education monies, and, you know, educating our kids is one of the most important things. I don't think the federal government should be playing such a huge role, and that was the reason we passed that Every Student Succeeds Act, which, by the way, the Alaska NEA was supportive of that, and so were the charter school advocates. It was got really, really broad-based bipartisan support. But I appreciate your comments, and thank you for your motivation on or dedication on this.
This would be a good opportunity to bring some really important legislators together.
The heavy hit. Heavy hitters arrived. Damn.
But if they're trying to take your permit away, I'm still there.
By the way, have you ever seen Clem's Navy ID when he was in World War II?
He's still got it with him. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Still in my case.
Yeah, it has minor stamped across it, so I can't buy a bottle of it.
One studly looking guy.
Back from a government stage vacation on Guadalcanal, 135 pounds. No, what I wanted to talk about was the fact regulation. The commercial fisheries live on regulation. Okay. And this idea that when Trump froze it, our halibut didn't open.
No, but that's not true.
Yeah.
Because the halibut did open.
Yeah, well, we got it open.
Yeah, no, I personally... Yeah.
You did it.
I did, exactly.
And I thank you.
I did do
it. I want you to know that. But the thing is that the legislature, for all of their conservative stuff in Juneau, they passed stuff on acidification. We know it's there.
Yeah.
Nobody's kidding about it.
Oh, I know.
But the thing still comes back to the fact we have to be able to move regulations and not have this idea that you have to repeal two to get one. Our fisheries operates on daily regulations. Yep. And so you did defend us. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Our fishery started, and I just want to thank you.
Sure. Well, we thank you.
But remember, we don't have to change the Magnuson Act.
I know.
We're not hurt now.
No, I know. And that's kind of the message I'm getting from everybody, which is
do no harm. You know, the very fact that they used us for, they knocked out several of our people from conflict of interest.
Yeah, no, we talked about that extensively.
Yeah.
We're going to try and fix that.
Yeah. I wanted, when we wrote it, I wanted people that had a conflict of interest to do it. And it worked.
I know. We talked about that extensively in our meeting yesterday.
Okay, well, so all I want to do is thank you.
Okay, well, thank
and I'm
you.
Gonna, I'm going to load my stuff back on.
Thanks for hanging out. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, it was fun looking at all these old FUDs.
He can say that, I can't.
All right, thanks.
Senator okay, Sullivan, thank you. You have
okay.
to go.
All right, okay.
York, come on, you can ask your question.
Okay.
Well,
I just
go
wanted
ahead.
To say there was
okay, thank you guys.